summertime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
If you're topping off your burger with grilled onions and blue cheese, pair your work of art with a spicy Malbec.
Nothing beats a buttery Chardonnay with grilled corn on the cob. I'm ready to find you the perfect bottle of white for your next get-together.
Pack up the cooler for this weekend. We've got canned wine and beer ready to throw on ice.
Now with 9 locations in the Bay Area. Visit our newest store at Stevens Creek Central. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. I'm Sharad Kutan with me, Tan Chung Han. And on the line, we have Stephen Innes, head of trading in Asia Pacific for Wanda in Singapore.
Good morning, Stephen. So the Bloomberg Dollar Spot Index that marked four consecutive weekly declines. So there appears to be a consensus for a weaker US dollar in 2018. Do you think dollar bears will reign once again this year?
I think that's a sign. By all indications, the market's really positioning for a weaker U.S. dollar. Although, you know, it's very, very difficult to make heads or tails of trading around this time of year. You know, as right now, we're seeing the dollar fighting back against that sell-off that started mid-December. You know, I think we're looking at Friday. There's a couple of developments that had the dollar bears pausing. I think, first of all, the U.S. dollar rallied after that soft jobs report. Which, you know, gives rise to the situation that perhaps we are going to take a little bit of pause in the sell-off. And then second of all, there's a shadow from the past that spooked the market after the Fed's published the 2012 transcript of the FOMC meeting where future Governor Powell was sitting at the time, and it indicated that although he did vote for QE3, he wasn't really a staunch advocate of it. So this was a little bit more hawkish of a lean than what the market had has been pricing in on the Fed narrative. But trust me, the narrative is very, very dovish for the Fed outlook, and I think this is what's weighing on the U.S. dollar right now.
But Stephen, a Powell in 2012 versus a Powell that could helm the Fed by next month, you know, can we expect a different Powell, a different Fed chair? Because keeping in mind, in his Senate testimony, Jerome Powell has pledged to monetary policy continuity, right?
That's exactly the argument that I'm looking at, too. I think we just had a little bit of hiccup going into weekend, and given that positioning was fairly entrenched on the dollar short side, I think the dollar bears just got a little bit spooked and bought some of that positioning back in, because as we enter the market today, there's really been no significant follow through in that news. However, you know, I'm going to be quite cognizant ahead of this week's Fed speak, because there's a plethora of a Fed speak coming out. And right now, the market is really siding on the dovish side. So possible tail risk is for hawkish surprises coming out of the Fed members this week.
Sure, and we'll definitely look out for those as well. Now, in comparing, say, the US dollar with US equities, there appears to be divergent outlooks. What do you think is driving those divergent outlooks?
Well, you know, it's just a really, really amazing start again for equities. And I think really sentiment now beyond the tax reform balance is getting buoyed by global growth sentiment, and this seems to be pushing the stock market to all-time highs. I think also we have to look at oil prices too, because the oil is a big component of the makeup of a lot of the global indices, and with oil prices rising, it sort of supports the energy sector. And we're seeing, you know, once first of all the supply disruptions, and also the rising tensions in the Middle East also contributing to this appeal. On the dollar, it's quite interesting. I think, you know, we're getting into this Trump factor, you know, equally as negative for the U.S. dollar as what the lack of inflation is, because it seems that, you know, Donald Trump just seems to be this wild card, and perhaps, you know, just provides this lack of confidence and the overall U.S. Management of their fiscal and monetary policies. And I think this will continue to weigh on the dollar as we go through 2018. So not only are we faced with the possible lack of inflation, but we also have to take the Trump factor into consideration also.
Got it. Now, Stephen, earlier you mentioned that softer jobs report last Friday. Looking ahead to this coming Friday, 9:30 p.m. Malaysian time, we've got December's U.S. retail sales data out. Could that be a near-term catalyst for dollar gains?
You know, again, I think it's unlikely that there's going to be a sufficient market shift just from a one-off price. one off data point. I think this seems to be the flavor as we enter 2018, where the focus, while the focus is on monetary policy, I think with the changing of guard at the Federal Reserve Board, I think the market's still, looking for some discovery as to what's going to be happening with the Feds as we move on to 2018. So I think as opposed to this concentration on data right off the bat, we could possibly lean more towards the Fed speak and the Fed narrative as the leading indicator for the next little while, at least until the March, the possibility of a March interest rate hike starts to come on the radar. And I think that'll start to get factored in towards the end of the month and early September. Early February. So we don't really have long to wait for that to shift either.
Hey, Stephen, what's your current geopolitical risk meter looking like at the moment? Given that North Korea has just recently called for talks with the South.
Yeah, I think that's positive. The only one hiccup today is that purportedly Kim Jong-un turned 34 today, and there's always that fear that they might light off a celebratory missile. But, given that the talks have actually been moving in a favorable direction, especially with the Olympics coming up, I think this is probably going to temper any aggression. So, yeah, I think that's moving to the back burner gradually, although it's this omnipresent fear that something may escalate. But I think it's quite unlikely at this stage.
So given that, it's unlikely at this stage, what does it do for the Korean won versus, say, safe havens like the dollar, the yen, etc.?
I think the market is just really in a position to fade any of these moves. I think we're looking at the Korean won right now as being very, very supported, regardless of the headlines, supported by cash equity inflows. And this, I think, is going to continue on. Dollar yen, on the other hand, although it has these little wobbles on risk aversion, it seems to be bought up. The dollar yen seems to be bought up quite aggressively after these moves. So as far as the risk aversion moves go, I think the market's just sitting waiting back to fade any of these risk-averse hiccups.
All right, Stephen, let's talk oil now. And I know that you made some commentary in your, some commentary this morning in your email listing. But I just want to put it out there, just so all listeners know, just before the new year, you wrote that the oil market is poised to make further gains. And sure enough, last week, WTI marked its best opening week in half a decade. So what's your outlook on oil here?
Well, there's a couple of factors. Obviously, the supply disruptions did help escalate the prices, and I think that's one of the reasons why I thought that wasn't totally bought in. But I think that signal's starting to weaken a little bit because we're starting to get closer to the repairs being made on both the pipelines, one the North Korean, one the Libya, the North Sea, and one the Libyan pipeline. So I think that's abating. However, I think where the escalation is starting to happen now is around the Middle East tension, and particularly Iran. I think if there's any heavy-handed suppression of the events that are going on right now in Iran, this could give rise to President Trump actually imposing more oil sanctions, because I think he's just chomping at the bit to do something, especially when this was an Obama initiative, and I think he would like to, hit Iran where it counts. But really, I think Iran is quite cognizant of this fact and actually not going to play the heavy hand. But from that perspective alone, I think that's going to continue to underpin oil prices, not only from the Iranian perspective, but the possibility that this actually escalates into other regional OPEC producing countries.
And those concerns certainly are reverberating throughout currency markets. So what does that do for commodity linked currencies? I'm talking Aussie dollar, I'm talking ringgit.
Yeah, I think it's very supportive, and I think we've seen the Malaysian ringgit push through the psychological and actually quite significant forward level to the U.S. dollar last week. Certainly supported somewhat from the weaker U.S. dollar narrative, but also higher oil prices also play into the basket. Likewise for the commodity currencies, although Aussie is not completely linked directly to oil prices, it does export LNG, and it does have a lot of hard commodities. And I think this overall global growth narrative, compounded by higher energy prices, is very supportive for the commodity block of currencies. And we're seeing that play out in the market right now.
Awesome stuff as always. That was Stephen Innes, Head of Trading in Asia Pacific for Owanda in Singapore.
Han, just one question for you. What did you do when you turned 34?
I did not set off missiles, if that's what you're asking.
And actually, apparently, Kim Jong-un has made it a custom not to celebrate his birthday.
Really?
Yeah, he doesn't. He's very, very modest that way.
Huh.
Unlike the stable genius out in Washington, D.C.
I see what you did there.
Okay, we'll be back with more. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.